Hi there.
It's the big interview.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
This is big news. What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Long chats with big brains, meant to give you a better view of the big picture as money life goes literally.
Go big or go home.
Talking.
Yes, we are. And today we're talking with Jeff Bishop. He's the editor at TopStockPicks.com, the co-founder of RagingBull.com. Now, you just heard me drop two .coms in there again. TopStockPicks.com, RagingBull.com. That's where you want to go. And Jeff would describe himself as the guy who makes the trades at both of those places. Jeff Bishop, welcome to Money Life.
Great to be here, Chuck. Thanks.
You are somebody who takes a look at the market, and in the newsletter side of things, it tends to be a little bit more short-term focused, and you are a trader, both of stocks and ETFs. It's called Top Stock Picks, but you also use ETFs as well. I'm curious, because when I talk to most folks who are traders, they're always looking for some sort of discernible movement, that trading systems work best when there's some sort of pattern. It could be in any direction, but there's some sort of pattern. What we have now is a pattern that has been mostly up with the Trump bump, but we have so much worry that there's going to be a Trump dump that a lot of people are unsettled, and there's been a lot of sideways, or even the up has been slowed down. When you look at the picture right now, is there a trend that is discernible enough that you go, this is what I expect to happen?
Yeah, and the overall market, I got to tell you, the complete Trump rally kind of caught me off guard. We had a good couple months there as it started, but I really did not think it would last as long as it did. And here we are several months into it now, and we're kind of starting to see it peter out. I'm actually surprised we haven't seen more of a pullback in the market as the market starts pricing in how they're anticipating what his policies are going to be like. You know, I think the market really expected to see more out there in his agenda that would be put into play. I think the healthcare bill not passing was a huge dent. Then we expected a lot of tax reform that was supposed to happen, and now we're being told that it's going to be many months away, or even next year possibly, before we'll be able to get to that. So the market's really starting to reconsider how optimistic they should be on Trump's policies going forward. And if you look at the market, we've seen a little pullback, but considering where we were back in November, it's really not much. I think the market right now is kind of in a wait-and-see mode. It is very choppy. Though from a technical standpoint, I do think it's due for a pullback here. So a pullback, I'm talking like a 3 to 5% correction in S&P. Nothing too big, but I do think that things are looking like they could pull back a little bit from here.
As a trader, when you talk about what you're looking for you, is it all, let's see what happens. Let's get that action on the S&P, that 3 to 5% correction, as you pointed out, or is the bigger problem that because President Trump hasn't really told us, even still in the first 100 days, much about his policies, that tomorrow there could be almost any sort of announcement that could move the market? I mean, is this an environment where you have to trade solely on the numbers and the technicals because the big picture is so uncertain?
I think you have to have a big picture agenda first, and then you look at your technical side of things. So many times, I see this over the years, so many traders just want to be able to get a red light or a green light, or they want this indicator to line up or this one, and that's what they're going to make their decisions off of. And it's really just a foolish game, I think, to be able to look solely at technical indicators and hope that you're going to be able to outperform the market. So what we try to do with our services is, first of all, we have a macroeconomic overview. We think where things are going in the market overall, or different sectors of the market. Like you said, we trade a lot of ETFs. So while we're trading the S&P and the NASDAQ and the bigger indexes, we're also trading actively gold index ETFs. We're trading biotech ETFs. We're trading volatility. So different subsets of the market we're trading actively. So we have to have our ideas about where these individual indexes are going, and then we're looking for technical setups when we actually make our trades happen. And right now, I think we've got a market that is really priced in a lot of optimism. Now we're starting to see that kind of wane a little bit, and the market's just kind of waiting to see what's going to be the next setup to hold.
That raises a question for me. You were talking about ETFs and using ETFs, and I'm about to head off next week to the Morningstar Investor Conference, which takes a lot of look at various financial products. And we've seen tremendous growth in the ETF business, lots of different types of ETFs. They're all tools. They're tools that can be useful to somebody like you, much more so than they are to someone like me, where I look at ETFs that are very granular and I go, okay, I'm not sure I want to buy the corn ETF or the Bulgaria ETF or something based on some smart index that I could barely understand. For you, what percentage of these new products are actually worth looking at and help you? And what percent do you kind of go, yeah, well, I'll wait till somebody else to see whether or not that thing works?
That's a great question. While I do think that ETF has a lot of value for most investors, and most institutional funds are definitely more active in ETFs now than ever before, there's about 4,000 ETF products out there, but there's probably only 1% of those that I think investors really need to worry about or should be concerned about in their portfolios. So number one, what I want to look at in ETF is the average trading volume. While there's 4,000 ETFs out there, most of those rarely trade, or the liquidity is so poor that you're giving up a big chunk of your gain by just the bid and ask spread in these trades. So I think that there's too much risk on the liquidity side of these ETFs where they just don't trade enough. And so automatically we can discount those as an investment for most people. When it comes to the ETFs that we trade, there's probably a universe of only about 20 ETFs that I'm actively involved with at any given time. So I've really narrowed down the universe of ETFs into the most active ones in the most important sectors that I follow. And that's kind of our strategy and what we look at.
You also use some inverse ETFs and some leveraged ETFs, if I'm not mistaken. Those are power tools that the SEC has warned individual investors not to use lightly. Now, of course, you're not using them lightly. You're using them with very specific purposes. But how important is it to you that, you know, if you're going to go with the leveraged fund, that you use it exactly as it's intended for, you know, as a very short-term play? Because, as you point out, you've been fighting an uptrend that you didn't see coming. I would imagine that if you use the power tools while they help you when it's going with you, they crush you the rest of the time.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen so many investors that just didn't know what they were getting into when they traded a leveraged ETF, and they end up holding it too long. And then they find out what the SEC is really talking about here, that these really are very poor long-term instruments, that they're not designed for that. They're only designed for short-term trading. And with top stock picks especially, that's really all we focus on. We're looking at short-term trades, probably around a week or so. We're not intending to be with any stock or any ETF for a very long period of time. So in that time frame, a leveraged ETF makes a lot of sense if you've got the direction right. Now, because they're leveraged, a lot of these ETFs are leveraged 2 or 3 to 1 on your money. If you're wrong on a move, you're triple wrong. So investors really have to be careful about protecting their stops, having clear guidelines on when they're going to be in and out of a stock. While it's great to be up 3 times your money when you're right, it's the times you're wrong you really have to be careful about. And so that's what we're always cautious about when we're making short-term trades.
Does that also mean that when you're making short-term trades, that there is a different time, like that you have to see something different to say, let me go inverse as opposed to let me go leveraged? And basically, there are those times when you say, I'm confident, but I'm not so confident that I'll leverage up.
Sure. I think a good example of that is gold right now. We trade gold all the time, so we're usually long or short. The gold miners is our preference with top stock picks. Right now, we happen to be short the gold miners, and there's a lot of, I'm not going to get into all the reasons why right now, but when it comes to doing that, we usually have 4 ETFs that we'll trade off of, depending on which gold miner index we're tracking, and then there's a long and there's a short version of it. So one thing I like about ETFs is it's easy for investors to get in. They can buy a short version or they can buy a long version. It takes a little bit of time to kind of wrap your head around it, but you can buy a stock that's going to give you leveraged gains to the downside if something moves lower. So that's something that kind of takes a little bit of time for investors to understand. But when you get it, it makes the process very easy. If you have your thesis about where something's going to go, and then the technicals line up with you, and you want to decide to short it like we are right now with gold, then it makes it very easy to put that trade on.
I've got to ask quickly, you're short on gold, which means you're not exactly in love with GDXJ, the VanEck Vectors Junior Gold Miners ETF, are you?
No, in fact, we're short that one by its triple leveraged ETF right now. So
well,
one and GDX, it's big brother.
I just had to ask because Tom Lydon from ETF Trends, just before you came on the show, was talking about VanEck Vectors Junior Gold Miners, and yeah, he's on the opposite side of that trade from you. And that's what we say every day. Disagreement makes a market. This may be the first time in the history of Money Life we've had that disagreement literally in one interview to the next. Jeff, this was great. Thank you so much for chatting with us. I hope we'll get a chance to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chuck. Have a great day.
Jeff Bishop, everybody. He is the editor at TopStockPicks.com, co-founder of RagingBull.com. If you want more information on what he does in his newsletter or those of his colleagues, go check out those websites. All right, we just hit the halfway poll on the April 20th edition of Money Life. But halfway, that means there's lots more to go. So settle back and relax. We're living the money life, and we'll be back to it in just a moment.